Please be seated. So the scripture verses we have from Job this morning are from when God responds to Job after Job loses his patience. I've always disliked that saying, the patience of Job, because Job was anything but patient during his ordeal. He lost his family, his wife, his friends, his farm, his health. He lost everything. And if you read the book of Job, he wasn't patient about it. To be honest, Job chapters 26 through 31, the chapters, not verses, chapters 26 through 31 are Job launching his defense and airing his frustration at God. He basically spends those five chapters screaming at God. Every paragraph, every sentence is Job saying, if I've done something wrong, fine. If I've done this sin, fine. Destroy everything. I mean, he starts his argument by looking at God and saying, far be it from me. And I'm not even paraphrasing. This is actually what he says. Far be it from me to question you. Far be it from me, but I've been righteous. But I've kept my integrity this whole time while my world has burned down. Far be it from me to question you. But I didn't deserve this. This is nonsense. This is torture. This is evil. And Job spent five chapters saying basically that over and over and over again to God. And Job is rightly mad. He's mad that this happened to him. He's mad that it seems like it was just a game to God. Like, let's see how far we can push this guy before he breaks. Let's see how many injustices we can put into the world before Job gets really mad and yells. And throughout Job, it's not like the character Job in the Bible was quiet. And he just sort of accepted everything that happened to him, was like, oh, that's fine that my wife died, I'm cool, 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 cool. No, he was mad, and he was deeply, deeply sad, and the book says that. I mean, his world crumbled around him, and he finally lashed out at God and screamed at God. And God didn't stop Job from crying out, from lamenting, from being this mad. Job didn't get interrupted because God knew he needed to let it out. He needed to let it go. And God didn't really even rebuke him for being mad. What God did was remind Job that God was God, and God has got this, and God has got him. And what we have in our scriptural text for today is the beginning of God's answer to Job about all of his lamenting and crying. Well, God continues his answer to Job for another five chapters. So we have like the first four sentences of five chapters of God responding to Job. And basically what God is saying to him is, who are you? Did you make the oceans? Did you make the mountains? Did you make the stars? Did you tell the oceans to stop growing and create the land? Were you there when I did that? I didn't think so. So no, you didn't do it. God did all those things. So peace. Be still. I got you. I got this, and I'll take care of you. So we have an angry Job and a responsive God, and then we have the disciples that are afraid. So the disciples go out into the Sea of Galilee, and they're afraid for their lives as they are buffeted by waves and winds. They seem like the boat is going to crash, and they're all going to drown. And the disciples wake up a sleeping Jesus and scream at him, don't you care that we're about to die? Don't you care? Can't you help us? Can't you save us? And Jesus wakes up and stops the wind and the waves. And like God and Job, Jesus answers them, why are you afraid? Don't you know who I am? Where is your faith? Peace. Be still. I got you. I'll take care of you. Because you see, anger and fear are normal. Normal people would be angry and fearful if they were watching their world crumble around them. As they watch their world flash before their eyes, as they watch horrible atrocities done and ask why. And there is God the whole time saying, don't you know who I am? I got you. I'll take care of you. Because there are many opportunities in our lives to be swallowed by anger and fear. It's so easy to wander down that rabbit hole until you can't see daylight. I know I've let fear and anger overtake me at different times in my life, and when it has, it's kept me from being a good mom, a good wife, even a good person. Because when we let anger and fear take over us, it can sometimes cause us to hurt ourselves or hurt other people. And it can sometimes paralyze us into an action where we can't do anything. And we can get ourselves into a rut where we only tell ourselves the same story over and over again. Our reaction to everything is exactly the same because all it is we're angry about it or we're fearful of it. That everything is the worst and everything is bad. I don't know if you guys watch Saturday Night Live as much as I do, but there's this older skit called Debbie Downer. Has anybody ever seen this skit? It's one of my favorites. And my favorite skit about Debbie Downer is when her and all of her friends are at Disney World, the happiest place on earth. And the thing about Debbie Downer is every time she reacts to something, her reaction is that the world is ending. There are infectious diseases out there that are gonna kill us. And so her and all her friends are sitting at like a character breakfast in Disney World. And they're having pancakes, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. Look, there's Mickey. Look, there's Buddy or Buzz from Toy Story. Everything is amazing. And Debbie's response to this is, I don't know if you guys know this, but swine flu is on its way back. They expect about 5 million people to die from swine flu. And this is at Disney World. And at the end of whatever she says, you hear wah, wah. Well, that's Debbie Downer. Every reaction she has is that the world is ending and everything is awful. And I think some of us can get into that rut sometimes. And yes, in these stories, God says to us, don't let that stuff eat you alive. Don't keep it inside. If you need to yell yourself hoarse to have it help, if you need to cry yourself quiet, if that's what it takes, but don't let that be all that you do. Don't let yourself get into that rut and have it just be it. Don't end there. Michael Pollan just wrote a new book called How to Change Your Mind. He's the guy who wrote Omnivore's Dilemma. If you haven't read it, it's a great book. It's one of my favorites. But he wrote a book called How to Change Your Mind. And this book is quite a departure for him because it's about the use of psychedelic drugs in treating difficult-to-treat conditions such as depression or anxiety, or for people diagnosed with terminal illnesses who are fearful of end-of-life issues. Now, there are lots and lots of chapters about the science about it, but there's also several chapters about the groundwork you have to do before you get these treatments. And there are guides, medical professionals, who guide you through the process of these treatments. And let's be clear, I'm not advocating drug use. I'm just saying that there are medical professionals treating people with serious illnesses with these treatments, and they're doing it under the care of responsible, trained people in a treatment setting. Anyway, moving on. Part of the groundwork that they tell you to do before you get these treatments is that if you see a monster during these treatments, don't run away from it. Walk up to it and yell at it. Tell it to go away and to get out of your life. And the scientific peer-reviewed studies that are coming out from these treatments are all overwhelmingly positive because people that were afraid of their own death or had gotten in some sort of rut have been able to live out their lives in a positive way. My favorite story from the book is a woman who had recurring lung cancer, and she was terrified of it coming back, even though they had said to her that she was cured. She was terrified so much that she couldn't live her life. She couldn't go out with her friends. She had gotten a divorce and refused to acknowledge that anything had happened. She was just terrified every morning of getting up. And so she went under this treatment, and when she went under this treatment, she went into her body and saw that there was this black mass in her lungs. And it wasn't cancer, it was her fear. And she went up to her fear, and she screamed at it, and she told it to leave her body. And when she came out of the treatment, she found that she was no longer afraid. She found that as soon as she acknowledged that she was afraid, that as soon as she yelled at it and told it to go away, she could live a normal life. But for us, how do we move from anger or fear to peace and love? We listen to Jesus when he says, be still, peace. And we remember who made the oceans. We remember who made us and who made the mountains. We remember who made it all. And we remember that God is with us, even if it doesn't seem like it. And we remember that God has got us. We hold on and we find our way to love. because there are guides all around us pointing us the way. Because we all know the Mr. Rogers story where he saw a disaster when he was a little kid, and his mom said to him, and he went up to his mom and said, "Mom, I'm terrified. What's happening?" And she goes, "Whenever there's a disaster, you have to look for the helpers. You have to look for people who are walking into the middle of those disasters and saving people's lives. People like police officers or ambulance drivers or EMTs or chaplains or just regular people helping out. There are always helpers who walk into every situation and point towards love. So if you're stuck in fear or anger, know that there are always helpers and there are always guides along your path. There are friends, there is church, there is prayer, there is music, there is liturgy. There is all of us. We are all helpers. We are all guides. Because each of us, in our own turn, can be a guide that says to another person and to ourselves, "Peace, be still. God has got you." And know that God is God. And if you aren't able to do it, if you aren't able to be a guide right now, that's okay. Someone else will. And you can always know that God will. Because all of us are helpers pointing towards love. All of us are acting out God's love in the world and shining the light of Christ into the world. And we can all be the guides that help us see our way to hope. Because then they were glad because of the calm. And God brought them to a safe harbor. And we gave thanks to the Lord for God's mercy and the wonder God does for God's children. And we exalted God in the congregation of the people and praised God in the council of the elders. So lament, yes. Be angry, be fearful, yes. Please don't let that stuff eat you alive. But then find a way to look for peace and love. Find a way to point yourself or to point someone else to love and peace, because God says, "Peace, be still. God has got you."